Amen. Glory to God. Would you please stand with me? You're a visitor. We're so glad you're here this morning. Amen. Amen. But more importantly, God's glad that you're here.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. Thank God for our Sunday school teachers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. Starting in verse 23. I'd like to keep the screen down this morning if we could. Jeremiah chapter 33, starting in verse number 23. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, aren't you glad that the word of the Lord comes to people?
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad that God talked to the prophets of the Old Testament, but now in the New Testament, God wants to talk to each and every individual?
Amen.
He really does. If we're in the right place, we have a direct line to heaven.
Amen.
Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. And there's always naysayers. There's always the negative people in this world saying, you know what, here's what God said. Really?
Come on.
You better be sure.
Amen. Right.
If you tell somebody this is what God said.
Right.
And God's saying, you know what, I don't want you listening to them. Thus, they have despised my people that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant or my promise be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, the order of heaven and earth, in other words, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. So listen, if I have cast them away, you know, then forget about the order of the earth. Forget about the sun coming up. Forget about the moon shining, if you will. Amen.
Amen.
And then if you go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. First Chronicle 28 and verse 20. And David said unto Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. You know, that's where Nike got this from, right out of there. Just do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Then our last scripture is found in the New Testament in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's not leaving.
Amen.
Seen a lot of people leave.
Right.
But I've never seen God leave.
Amen.
David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the poor forsaken or begging for bread.
Amen.
Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning and upon your people, not only on this pulpit, but also on the pew.
Amen.
There's a reason we're here. There's a reason for your word.
Amen.
And it will not return unto us void. It'll accomplish what it needs to accomplish this morning.
Amen.
Touch us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Jeremiah, the rumor was that God hath cast off his people, that they were no longer a people. Things weren't always going well for them because they were in captivity, that they should be no more a nation, that God had forsaken Israel. That's the rumor. People were talking about that. And then God answers the rumor in Jeremiah. God, in effect, said, "Do you want to know if I love my people?" Now listen, you hear this. If the sun ever stops shining, and if the moon stops being the earth's light at night, then and only then you can doubt my love. Or if spring doesn't follow winter, or summer gives way to fall, then and only then you can doubt my love for you. How do I know that God still loves me? Even if I haven't been the most perfect saint, maybe I had bad thoughts, or maybe I didn't do some of the things that God would want me to do. Even if I had a bad day with a bad attitude, well, I know God still loves me because the sun came up this morning. Now, if the sun doesn't come up in the morning, we're all in trouble. But God says, as long as those things that have been happening over and over every day since I created the sun, you can rest assured, I still love you. Because the tulips are blooming, even after a cold winter. Our problem is that we hear rumors, or in our minds we evaluate God's love for us based on our performance and what we have done individually, our commission or omission of things we didn't do right or haven't done at all. And then we start to evaluate and we start to think, well, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. We walk in here after years of serving God, and even though we have a great song service, I didn't feel the presence of God this morning, and then we start to equate that, but God doesn't like me anymore. You ladies who have had babies, and you're holding that baby, and you're nurturing it, and you grab the baby by the hand, it takes a couple of steps, but when it gets to 6 and 7 years old, all of a sudden there's less hands-on. Because the child is reassured that mom still loves you. It seems like we all, at one time or another, question God's love for us.
Amen.
Even David encourages his son, Solomon, be strong and be good courage. God, even my God, will be with you.
Amen.
Every week I stand behind this pulpit and tell you, my God, even your God, is with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all of the work for his service. God still has programs for each and every one. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how inexperienced you are. God's going to be with you to complete a work that he has for each of us. I need to hear that about once a week, folks, because the rumors fly. Somebody disappoints. Somebody walks away. This wasn't theory with David. He knew by experience. He had many flaws. He had many failures. And yet, God says, David, a man after my own heart. You know, we would have trashed him a long time ago. We evaluate people on where they're at, what they've done, how faithful they are. Folks, we get negative input from those around us all the time. They are junkyard rumors.
Amen.
You're worthless. God's through with you. You are too old to be used. You're too young to be used. You're not good enough in order to be used. God just doesn't care for you like he did when he filled you with the Holy Ghost. Well, let's look at Philippians 1. Verse number 6. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when he started this work with you, he is determined, and we ought to be confident that God is going to take us through all the way.
Amen.
Amen. He hasn't changed his mind about us. Have we ever changed our mind about him? That's the question.
Amen.
Have you ever wondered where your first car is? For most of us, we know it's either in a junkyard someplace or it's pressed into some pots and pans somewhere, recycled, you know. My first car was given to me by my boyhood pastor for $1. You young people don't come to me asking for a car. It was a 1948 Plymouth Coupe. It was a dark blue. It had mohair seats, which my girlfriend at the time, which happened to be my wife, was allergic to. So we had to have a blanket on the front seat. Otherwise, she'd break out in some kind of rash. It was beyond its time because the speedometer, as it went up to about 35, was green. Then it turned yellow until it got to 60, and at 60, it turned red. There was no such thing as cruise control, but there was a throttle in it, so I'd get it up to a certain speed and then pull the throttle out, which would hold the gas pedal down at that place. You better push it back in when you came to a stop sign, you see. It was stick shift, and it was fun. It was very trendy, and I had fuzzy dice hanging from the rearview mirror. It was the place I kissed my girlfriend for the first time. And I have lots of good memories of that car. I remember when Pastor Zager handed me the keys to that car. I remember the awesome feeling of freedom and independence that I had. Now I could go where I wanted to go. In 1977, I came into the church, and I was driving a 1977 Lincoln Mark V Continental. It was almost as big as an airplane.
Wow.
You know, the trunk was big enough. It was just huge. But I remember the Monday after coming to my first Pentecostal service, saying to God, God, I don't know what that was, but I think I love you.
Amen.
And in that car, I felt the presence of God for the first time. It was like that first kiss.
Amen.
I've had lots of cars since that 48 Plymouth Coupe, but none of them have ever given me the feeling that I had in that first car. Amen. America loves their cars. A recent survey by Progressive Auto Insurance revealed that 45% of Americans rank their car as the most important thing in their life. 84% said that they actually loved their car. 32% actually named their car, you know? Betty, Lucy, Fred. 17% of males plan to buy their car a gift for Valentine's Day. Someone needs to get a life. So what does a car-loving America do when the car is at its last mile? Well, some trade it in for a new model. In fact, most do. Others donate their cars to some kind of charity. But eventually, the car ends up in the junkyard, the graveyard for old cars, rusty. Old memories, a car that once was loved, a car that had a name, maybe even got a gift on Valentine's Day, now headed for the junkyard. I told my wife, you know, we've been married for 50 years. The upholstery's sagging, but the engine's still good.
Amen.
Please don't trade me in for a new model.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad God doesn't have junkyards for old saints?
Amen. Amen.
I've read stories of heaps that had reached the end of the road. There was a story about a 1979 Cadillac DeVille, once known as the luxury car choice for America. If you could have a caddy, man. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Some trust in Cadillacs and some in Porsches. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's scripture, folks. This car had blue velour upholstery. It was said to be better than leather at the time. Of course, you couldn't move on it, you know. Special paint, cotillion white. Now it's junkyard brown. It had an orange C on its hood for crush. The auto forensics pathologist cut into the tires to remove the remaining air out of it. The gas was emptied from its tank into a machine that eventually would crush it. There's something really wrong with that, folks. The once proud Cadillac is the thing that's now crushed into a rectangular piece of metal about 6 inches thick, and another machine eventually will shred it into little pieces and recycle it into something that isn't of meaning. Maybe we should take a minute to compose ourselves, remembering some of our first cars and the memories. Then we have Judy, who came to the junkyard to say her final goodbyes to a 1981 Pontiac Fiero. I don't know if you remember what that looked like. It had headlights that would actually close, you know. Forklifts ran into the windshield, crushing its glass, and the glass was all over the front seat. Its one headlight stayed up while the other one was down. It looked like it was winking at all of the other wrecks in the junkyard. In that car, well, she sat behind the wheel one more time, weeping, thinking about all the time she drove to work worshiping God in it. The time that she followed an ambulance praying for the person that she didn't know, so God's hand would be upon them. Things once treasured are now trashed. Once loved and admired is now left to be destroyed. We get this feeling like there's an end of purpose or a time limit on what we can do for God. Forsaken, neglected, crushed, and shredded. Sounds much like the enemy and what he'd like to do in each and every one of us. A bad report saying, you know what, God has cast you off. You don't have the value that you once had. Send us to the junkyard where sin's weight can crush us. Slander can shred our reputation, if you will. Jeremiah ministered to a people who were discouraged and felt all alone. There isn't one person who hasn't walked into this place one time or another discouraged and felt all alone, wondering, where is my God? People spread the rumors that the nation of Israel, was nothing but trash, abandoned by God. But God heard the rumor, and he wanted his people to know the rumors were not true. You say, well, you know, I try to get to church as often as I can, but you know, you need to get to church so the rumors are dispelled.
Amen.
So you hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, the preaching of God's word. Because there's always someone who's getting your attention or telling you about the negatives about God. The devil only has rumors. He has absolutely no truth. He is the father of all lies. You are abandoned by God because of your circumstances or because of your dilemmas. When God sets up circumstances in your life in order to get you stronger with Him, I've got to go to the hospital. But did you know that God set up a situation to talk to somebody in the hospital? You don't understand. All things work together for good, for those are the called according to His purpose, not our purpose. It's not that He lets you alone, but He has great desires and puts you in a position. Hallelujah. God heard the rumors. He wants to affirm His love to you. You see, God is steadfast. His mercy is everlasting. His compassion is great. He will never, never, ever leave us or forsake us. He paid too great a price at Calvary not to have some value on each and one soul is more important than the entire world. So what's your value in the sight of God? Amen. Amen. Would you turn to Psalms 139? Psalms chapter 139 and verse number 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. What God is saying is, listen, I'm reading your thoughts. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those who have a perfect heart towards God. That's why you could be someplace other than church or even in prayer. Think about God, and all of a sudden you're feeling the chills of God's hand upon you because He is now always monitoring your thoughts, because he's looking to find out, how are you? What are you doing? What are your needs? Amen. Glory to God. Over time, our prayers are bottled, the Bible says. And a prayer never dies. And delay does not mean denial. Amen. Some have gotten discouraged because, well, they've been praying the same thing for a long, long time and they haven't seen the results. It's not that God hasn't heard, but God's got an order. God's got a plan for everything on this earth. Over time, our paper money, because of handling and use, well, it wears out. I've seen some dirty money. I've seen some holy money. I've seen some ripped money, soiled money, you know. And this currency, under tight security, well, goes to the federal currency shredders, a place where they take old money out of circulation in order to produce new, crisp bills for you. Now, why would they have it under such tight security if even the old stuff wasn't valued? You know, why don't they just give me the old stuff? I still love it because it still has a little bit of value, you know. Last year, $297 billion were destroyed in a shredding machine. 90% of the shredded cash is recycled into a lot of things. And what I learned yesterday is a lot of the insulation in our homes are from shredded money. Now, when you go home today, old stuff still has value.
Amen.
Amen. Some of it has been destroyed, amen, but it still had value. I got some cash from the bank this week, and the girl who gave it to me, she kept going like this because she said, these things, they're brand new and they kind of stick together, you know? And she gave it to me, and it still looks pretty good. The guy needs a haircut. Jackson, you know? His head looks too big for his body. But it's got a lot of value to it. It's kind of pretty, you know? Hallelujah. But what if it was crushed? What if it was thrown out? What if somebody stomped on it, you know? Got a little dirt on it. You know, what if somebody decided, well, you know what? We'll burn it, you know? And now there's ashes all over it. How many have been crushed? How many have been burnt? Anybody see any value in that? Huh? Even though it's been crushed, it's been stomped on, it's been burnt a little bit. You still see the value in it. And yet sometimes we think, you know, because I've gone through so much and even failed God, been stepped on. Oh, God just doesn't love me so much anymore. Years ago, and I wasn't planning to say this, but years ago, I read a story about Chippy. Any of you remember? Chippy was a little parakeet, and the woman decided she was going to clean out the cage with a vacuum cleaner. And she got a phone call at the time that she was cleaning out the cage, and as she was on the phone, all of a sudden, Chippy went right into the vacuum cleaner. She hung up the phone and emptied the bag, and there was Chippy all full of dirt and dust. And she said, oh, I have to clean this bird. So she took him over to the sink and put him under the water. And Chippy was just drenched. So then she had to get the hair blower out and blow that little bird so it was dry. And later that week, her neighbor called back again and said, how's Chippy doing? And she said, well, he's okay, but he just kind of sits on his perch and stares. And some just sit on the pew and stare. Because of the dirt of this world, you've been washed up and blown out. And somehow you don't sing like you used to sing before. You don't swing like you used to swing before. We should ask ourselves when we have a low time, and we'll have a low time feeling rejected, perhaps even forsaken, just because everything doesn't go right in your life, you surmise that the value is not there. What could cause God not to love me or not extend his mercy to me? What would it take to me to get out of the graces of my God? Would you turn to Romans, the 8th chapter? I'm so grateful for the Word of God. Amen. Because the devil's a liar, amen, and many times people are too.
That's right.
But my God's Word is true. It's amen, yea and amen. And Romans 8 and verse 35 says, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we, the church, are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. There's so many negative reports. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Peter said, listen, Lord, you're not going to the cross. I'll take care of you. You know what Jesus said? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because people will want to speak into your lives and tell you what God wants you to do. But you got a book of truth here. That's not going to deviate. Turn to John, the 10th chapter, please. John chapter 10 and verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. God got a hold of me, and he won't let me go. Amen. Hallelujah. It might seem sometimes that we've been scrapped, put out the pasture. Talk has it that God is no longer with us because of the mistakes that we have made, and every one of us make plenty of mistakes. You know why we feel that way? Because God has a built-in conscience and conviction that causes us to say, oops. That's something you don't want your doctor to ever say, oops. You know, and God will never say oops. But because we feel this conscience and conviction, we feel condemnation. But God's saying conviction is a good thing, condemnation is a bad thing. He doesn't condemn us, he just wants us to change. Hallelujah. Should you ever find yourself in a salvage yard ready to be crushed, be confident of this one thing. Our God visits junkyard on a regular basis. He does his best work with people who feel like they're nothing and nobody. You know, God's biggest problem is people who think they're somebody. He said to Saul, when thou wast little in thine own sight, I made you king. But now that you think you are somebody, you're out. David, come on in. Hallelujah. We serve a scrapyard Savior, a junkyard Jesus. He transforms relics and wrecks and has-beens and broken-down saints. He loved the good project of restoration. He wants to restore us every time we come into his presence. But unlike the junkyard and recycling center, Jesus doesn't recycle. He makes all things new. Amen. And he especially puts value on old saints. You know why? Because they have survived the junkyards, the shredder, the scrapyards. Survived the rumors. Survived the negative input that they get on a regular basis. And God's saying, look at that old relic over there. I didn't point at you. I'm very seldom impressed with a brand new car that drives down the road. But when I see some of these old cars that have been restored. I'm kind of envious, you know? Oh, wow. That was a work of art. Somebody took care of that thing. Somebody polished it. Somebody changed the oil. Somebody put it in a special place. That's impressive. So if you're an older relic like myself, I believe that God's still valuing you and polishing you and showing you off to the rest of the world because you're something special. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Brother Dorflinger, I hope you have a good lunch today. Amen. See if that waitress takes that $20 bill. Glory to God. We still have value, folks. You know, if David felt that way, Jeremiah felt that way, if Israel felt that way, there are times when we feel that way, abandoned, forsaken. The weight of sin crushes us. But I'm telling you, God is here to polish you up, restore you, to make you brand new again. Amen. He's just looking for somebody who wants to be restored. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?